Well, welcome back everyone to the podcast. And as you know, for these 12 days of prayer and fasting, we are pressing into experiencing more of the presence of God in our everyday lives as a whole church community. Whether you're in Perth, Australia, Bangkok, Thailand, or San Francisco, or here in sunny Melbourne, I prophesy. Whether a student at university or you're a parent homeschooling, or maybe you're a project team leader in the banking sector, we are all looking, no matter where we are or what we're doing, at answering the question, how am I growing? In an awareness of His presence. And on the podcast each day, we are chatting with different people in our church community to hear the testimony of their lives as to how they have grown in an awareness of the presence of God. And today we have joining us a very special friend of mine, a very dear friend to the house, and that is our favorite San Franciscan friend, San Francisco White. How is that? Pastor Don, welcome.
Thank you,
what is the correct terminology?
San Franciscan.
San Franciscan. I should have known that.
What time is it?
It's morning here in Melbourne when we're recording this, and nighttime there in San Francisco, right?
Currently with the time difference, yeah, it's late afternoon. Not yet.
Late afternoon. Okay. Very good. And how long have you been in San Francisco now? How long have you made that home and called that home?
Yeah, it will be 2 years in July since we left Australia, and yep, 2 years in September since we actually had a place to live. So between that year and a half and 2 year mark is where we are at currently.
And the Lord has done so much in that time. That's incredible. Yes. When I think about just the testimonies that I know about, 2 years seems, not enough. All right. Well, we could chat for days, but we're going to jump right into questions, if that's okay. Personally, I have, we've had a lot of different chats over the years about God and about prayer and about the presence of God. And you're probably one of my favorite people to discuss this topic with. So I'm excited that today we get to have a bigger, wider conversation with everyone listening, which is fun. So Don, I want to ask you firstly, because your testimony is really such a trophy of grace for the Lord. And there'll be many moments, I guess, where you have encountered the manifest presence of God in different ways, but maybe you can share a little bit about the first time that you remember encountering or becoming aware of the manifest presence of God.
Yeah, it's actually a really good question, because there's a specific moment. So growing up, I actually believed and knew God was real. I just didn't know who that was or the why behind it. So the manifest presence of God, when me becoming aware of that, was when I actually had the moment of encountering God and giving my life to Him. So, and then I'm going to mention something in just a moment about that. But prior to that, but when I was in Australia and just moved there, running away from stuff, trying to start a new life, but not really at the time wanting to give up certain things in my life. Yeah. And I was at that point where I was hearing a person speak about Jesus Christ as if they were telling my story. There's a moment where He had us all close our eyes. And so I closed my eyes. And it was as if in that moment, it was like there's just this change, this click over. And I couldn't hear or recognize any of the voices that were around me. It was just like this laser focus in that moment. All of a sudden, I heard this voice in my head. So it wasn't an audible voice, it was a thought. But I just knew it was God speaking to me. And so in that moment, I felt Father just say to me, Don, I'm going to show you what your life's like past this point if you choose to say no to me. And although my eyes were closed, in that moment, all I could sense, feel, and just depict was the deepest, darkest, black pit of despair. And I was like, well, God, I actually feel like I already know what that's like, and this sucks. So I don't want that. So I don't know what saying yes to you means, but I don't want that. And so in my heart, I just said, I'm saying yes. I cannot reject you. I know you're real, and I know you're manifesting your presence to me and your voice and your heart. And so I said yes. And it was the moment in my heart I responded with yes. All of a sudden, I became aware again of the room I was in. And it was like within a second or two, the gentleman that was preaching said, if you want to say yes to Jesus today, put up your hand. So I put up my hand, and then he said, and I want you to stand. And so I stood, and the moment that I stood, the only kind of real way I can describe what happened was as if I was standing and I was shedding like this old nature where it was like literal filth and mud that had been caked on me was falling off. It was as if like I was shedding a skin, shedding this nature. And then my heart just broke. And I can't tell you the last time I cried at that point. Like it was years beyond that point. So it was like this cleansing and reviving of my heart. And I would say that is the first time I became aware of his manifest presence was at that point. But it's interesting, after getting saved, God began to show me moments in my life where his tangible, angelic manifestation and presence was there, even though I wasn't aware of it.
That's so good. And we've talked, actually, a lot of people have talked about that of the first moment when they've been aware of the presence of God. And I know this is definitely my testimony, but then you look back and you see, oh my goodness, God was there. God was there. That was God. That thing that I'd attributed to something else, that was actually him. Yeah. The power of that. Now looking back, whether it's a week, a month or a year or multiple years, and finding him is definitely a way that I guess we can cultivate an awareness of his presence, just even in looking back on our lives. I love what you were talking about, Don, of like the encounter with the presence of God, because everyone who shared has shared a different thing. Some people have felt it like a sense of being at home. Some people have felt hope. Some people have felt like all different things. And I love for you that with the presence of God in this way, the manifest presence of God, it's almost like a moment of transformation, a moment of renewal in who you are. Yeah, incredible. All right, so we're going to fast forward a little bit. And you obviously, I mean, you mentioned briefly that you lived in Australia for a time. And along that journey of following the Lord, maybe you can share with us if there's been significant moments or times of breakthrough that have led to experiencing his presence, I guess, more regularly outside like a corporate gathering, or significant moments that have looked, I guess, a bit different than what we would classically think of as spaces of experiencing the presence of God.
Yeah, I love it. I love that question. And reflecting on that right now, as you're even asking that, I reckon, and there's a couple of points, just even knowing where some of the greatest encounters and moments I've had with God have actually been in my personal devotional time and intimacy with God. So there was, you know, after I left Australia, after getting saved, I was in my room in Rochester, Minnesota, crying out to God. And I was like, why am I here? What's going on? I don't have any friends. And over the span of like 3 months in Rochester, I had some of the richest and deepest moments with God, and no one else was there. And I think the beauty of that is something that really is able to be constant in our walk with God, is that these corporate moments, whether that be in an auditorium or on a street corner, I think is the sweetest moments in God as we mature end up being the foundation of our personal intimacy with him. And so there was, looking back, most of those moments were actually my personal intimacy with God. But then in these corporate moments with even just one or two other believers, is I've seen in my own life where there's like this increased breakthrough to a nature. And so it's like there's been times in my personal intimacy with God where I'm like, God, I actually don't feel you in my personal intimacy the way I had in all these other ways, which is this crazy like tension, right? Like some of the greatest encounters of being aware of his presence have been in intimacy with him. And then being intimate with him, I'm like, God, I don't sense anything. And so it's like pressing in, God, and even currently a season right now for Hannah and I is we're saying, God, we want more. We want more of you. We need more of your presence. We want to become more aware of you, right? In these 12 days of consecration, more aware of him. And what I've found is as we still press in our intimate moments, then there's these corporate moments where it's like we're with other believers and he does something that he doesn't do in our intimate moments because it's in the space and place with other believers. And one of those points I remembered, it was around about like 2014, think it was, but 2014, 2015. And I was crying to God. I was like, God, I want to see more of your presence manifest through me and for there to be signs and wonders. Like, why am I not seeing that? And so I actually spent a time of consecration, prayer, and fasting. And I was just saying, God, I'm hungrier for you. I'm hungry for you. And I wasn't seeing anything. But then there was a moment where we actually had a revival service. And this gentleman by the name of, I think it was Rick Shelton, was sharing his testimony about how he was a skeptic. And then God met him. In the midst of his skepticism, he encountered God.
Yeah.
And he was in that moment where people began to fall out under the presence of God. And I was like, and then I realized, hold on, there was something in me, actually, that encounter, my salvation. After that moment, people started to be prayed for and some people were falling out. And at that moment, for me, in 2010, the first time I encountered God in that way, gave my life to him, I was like put off actually a little bit by that. I was like, hold on, this seems fake. Yeah. And then the guy came up and he seemingly, it felt like he might have like pushed me, like pushed my head. And I was like, oh, okay, so this dude's just pushing people and they're falling under, whatever.
Yep.
Then like 4 or 5 years later, this moment's happening in this corporate environment. And again, I realized there was something in me that was actually offended by something I was not familiar with. And I felt Lord just say, do you want me even if it looks like that? And I was like,
wow.
Yeah, whatever, like whatever. And in the moment that that happened, he invited all the pastors up at the time. And I went up to the front and he's going and starts praying for people. And some people are just falling out on the power of God. And again, in my heart, in my mind, I just said, God, whatever you want to do, I want it. And he didn't even touch my head. And I went out under the power of God, his manifest presence in that moment, a corporate environment of other people. And then I got up and had another friend pray for me. And that same night, not only did I experience God in that manifest way of going out past my intellect, but then another person prayed for me and I went out again. But then I was completely healed of certain bone conditions and tendon conditions that I had grown up. And so it was like, this dynamic of personal intimacy, but corporate fervency and hunger that these manifest presence of God moments.
Wow. So much in all of that. So much gold in all of that. I want to rewind to what you said just at the very start, when you're in Minnesota and crying out to the Lord. I love that we can experience the presence of God in a very deep way in seasons of I guess like seasons of lament or seasons of trial or seasons of desperation. I think it's easy to think of like, you know, in moments where everything's great or, you know, there's a lot of joy or something, really all the good things are happening. But I love that you talk about one of these places being actually a place where you're like crying out to God and desperate of like, I don't understand what's happening right now. I don't understand why I'm here. My like what even is the point of my life, and experiencing the Lord in that place, because I think that's really encouraging for people to know that if that is you, if you're in that season, that you can experience the presence of God in places of trial sometimes in ways that we don't necessarily in places that we would go for ourselves, you know. So I love that, and I love how you talk about, I guess, the dynamic between personal hunger and then bringing what is the hunger in our own heart for more of God together. I always think about it as like little flames. Everyone's got their little fire, and then we bring it together, and it's this big fire of hunger that the Lord truly does find irresistible. Like when his people seek him, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you, you know, it is irresistible for him. And starting in that place of intimacy personally. Yeah.
That's so good. Yeah, it's so good. And as you're saying that and kind of recounting even what I mentioned, I think one of the greatest things, and just recently we had our Behold Him night, and we're going through the names of God and who he actually manifests and reveals who he is to us. And we took a moment where we're like, we posted some of the names of who God's revealed himself to be, his manifest character on the wall, like El Roy and El Shaddai and Yeshua and Emmanuel and all that. And it's interesting because in that moment, I didn't have anything on the wall, but then I was reminded of that moment in Rochester, Minnesota, where I'm crying now, and God reveals himself as friend. And he's like, you know, you don't feel like you've got any friends, but why can't I be your friend? And then over the years, this has just deepened and enriched so much that then we came to San Francisco. We knew no one here. And, you know, Hannah has favor and just the difficulty with all that. And I didn't know anyone here. And again, I'm crying out to God, God, I don't have any friends here. And he's like, well, I'm your friend. And I was reminded of our beholden night in John 15, where Jesus actually says, I no longer call you servants or slaves because they don't know the master's business, but I call you friends. And so it's like the friendship of God, I think, has been one of the greatest manifest moments and awareness in the highs and the lows.
Wow. It overwhelms me that like the God of the universe, like the Alpha and the Omega, the one who was, is, and is to come, would want to be our friend. Like it's a revelation that God, like, he doesn't just love you, but he likes you. Like he likes you. And it's so much we spend so much time, I think, sometimes just, you know, seeking his hand or seeking direction. And he's like, just come and be with me. Just come and hear my heart, like as a friend would. What an incredible honor and privilege. And I know that sometimes sounds quite Christianese, but when you're there, it's like, but it is, it's a crazy honor. And even something that I struggle to wrap my mind around, that God in the magnificence of who he is would want to share his heart with us, would want to share himself with us, you know, that his presence, that he would want to share himself with us. And that truly at the end of the day, he himself is the prize.
Yes.
He himself is the prize. Okay. Ooh, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. okay. So you spoke a little bit, Don, about your move from Melbourne to San Francisco. Maybe for those of you who don't know, your wife, Hannah, she is a Melbournian, and you and her were living in Melbourne for quite some time. You pastored our Numa Melbourne South location. Shout out to Numa Melbourne South. Woohoo, mm-hmm. Holla. And you also are parents of three beautiful kids. Remind us of their ages now.
Yeah, so Zephaniah will be 7 in August. Crazy.
Right now.
Heck. Melbourne South just had their 7th birthday. Come on. Yeah, celebration. Yay. Oliver will be 5 in August. And Favor Grace just turned 1 in February.
Oh, my goodness. That's just wild. So, okay. So you, 2 years ago, you, or a little bit before that, obviously, you start hearing from the Lord about the city of San Francisco. Your friend, God, starts to share his heart with you for his city, for the nation, but for the city of San Francisco. And you guys go on a discernment process of, okay, God, is this where you're calling us? And through different confirmations, and then you take this big leap of faith to move all the way to San Francisco, where, as you said, you didn't know anybody. You had two young boys and a pregnant wife at the time. Mm-hmm. But you had a word from the Lord. You had his heart for this city. So over the process of being in San Francisco, the city that God loves, mm-hmm. How, Don, I guess, have you guys cultivated an awareness of the presence of God in a city, in this city that you know is on the heart of the Lord because he's been talking to you about it? How do you do that? You move there and you're like, okay, God, like, where are you? What are you doing? Where are you already moving? Mm. We've been talking a little bit about how we interact with that in our personal lives or even our families, how we become aware of the manifest presence of God, you know, in our families, in our children, in one another. But something beautiful that I guess I've been able to watch with yourself and Hannah is that you've really looked at where is the manifest presence of God at work in the city of San Francisco. And that's applicable to anyone. I don't need to be church planting for that. Like, I want to know how to discern where God's at work in the city of Melbourne, where I live. So maybe you can take us a bit on that journey.
Yeah, it's really good. And I do just want to mention that Hannah is so prophetic. She's so insightful to a lot of this stuff, and it's really cool what you just said, Aaron, because looking at how we hear God and be aware of it through, you know, family, friends, children, all that kind of stuff. Hannah and I actually believe that is one of the ways to discern and become aware of God's presence in a city, because cities are filled with people. And so as we listen to people around us, we actually can begin to be aware of God's presence for a city. And so some of the like deep conviction, revelation of stuff that God has brought for Hannah and I here in San Francisco really comes by one word: listen. So there's different ways that we can listen, but it's that one word, listen. And so, and I'll add a second word, consistently. And so consistency and listen would be two of the greatest words that we have found God revealing himself in his presence in this city. And so there's a lot of ways at what that looks like for us, but being consistent in spaces and then consistently listening as we're in those spaces has been, I would say, one of the greatest ways that we've been able to discern and grow in the awareness of God's heart, voice, and presence in our city. And so practically for us, before anyone else was here, there's a playground that was right by our house. And so every Sunday specifically, and then during the week as well, but every Sunday we'd go to this playground and we would show up every single Sunday. Consistently, we'd show up and we'd start to chat with some of the neighbors, some of the parents, some of the people, and we'd ask questions, and then we would just stop talking. We would just listen. And as we're listening, we're trying to catch not just their pain or their heart, but what is God saying through them. And so we'd ask like questions like, hey, what do you love about San Francisco? We'd find out like, how long have you been in San Francisco? Where are you at before? What do you love about San Francisco? What's the last 2 years been like for you? You know, what are some areas of the city that you would go? And then when they answer stuff, we'd say, why is that? Like, what? Why is that? And so one of the greatest ways that we've found is by asking questions and listening. And then I'll touch on the consistently in the moment, but did you want to say something?
Yeah, because this is really cool, because I've seen you do this. So when I was in San Francisco with you last year, we were just walking the streets and just having conversations with people as we're walking the street, being led by the Holy Spirit as to who to speak to. And I saw you ask these kind of questions, just like genuinely, like we've talked also about, I guess, honoring God at work in each person. And the people that you're talking to, like, these are not believers. San Francisco is not a very Christianized city. These are just sons and daughters of God who do not know him yet, but who God is at work in and through. And to watch some people who are not yet filled with the Holy Spirit, but almost like prophesy over their own city is wild. Like that God uses them and uses what they say to talk about his heart for his city. You're like, wow, God, you are at work everywhere. Like, yeah, this person carries your heart for the city, even though they don't yet know you. It's crazy. I've seen you stop. I've seen you walk down the road and I'm like, we're talking, and then all of a sudden, Don's gone. Where's Don? Look back in. Don stopped to talk to someone, being prompted by the Lord to have a conversation with somebody. Just heard even, I guess, what burdens God's heart for a city comes through, you know, the burdens on people's hearts. So I think it just adds to kind of what we've already talked about on the podcast, I think with Dr. Ali about, you know, just recognizing God at work in each person, the manifest presence of God at work in each person. This is just, I guess, a different manifestation or a different act, a different outworking of that. And the things people say are just like phenomenal. You just like, this is so the Lord. This is his character. This is his nature. Even things that crazily like line up with scripture sometimes, all from people who often don't know him.
Definitely. And It's amazing what God reveals he's doing in the city when you have these moments. Like even today, there's these community ambassadors, just people that walk around the community, and I ask them, what are you seeing right now? What are business owners saying to you when you're going by? And then I just like discern and pray into what they share. But then there's the other side of it where we've encountered people. For instance, this gentleman that was supposedly a Christian, but he said to me, he goes, when I was chatting to him while we're here, he's like, oh, you know, San Francisco is the devil's cauldron, right? And I looked at him and I was like, no, it's not. It's the Lord's city. And so there's these people that we've had chats with. And as we consistently understand that we hear the voice of God, we know he's a good shepherd in John 10, we can discern the other voice. And so when there's something yes. that comes up that doesn't seem to be lifting up, but it's pulling down, even when people share, you know, whatever they don't like about San Francisco, we can actually begin to see the enemy revealing his hand and trying to highlight certain things to bring fear and intimidation or negativity and yeah. depression over. And so in that way, we believe that that's a way that God in his sovereignty is allowing things to come up that we can operate in the opposite spirit of what they just said.
Yes. Yeah. Wow. Okay. So, all right, let's talk about what you're about to say about consistency, because this is one of my most favorite topics, I think, when I talk about the character and nature of God, because we often talk about the power of God in different aspects. But for me in my life, the faithfulness of Jesus, the anchor that he is one of the most stunning characteristics of Christ. And it's often one that we don't think about a lot, or we don't show a lot. Like, we'll hear and then, oh, not 2 months later, this, and oh, no, that's too hard, and that, and oh, you know, it doesn't feel good, so it can't be God, and we go here. So talk to us about the consistency that you're talking about, which is such a characteristic of the nature of God, his consistency. Yeah, talk to us about that.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm going to zone in on city dynamics. So I mean, obviously there's the consistency of daily devotion, but beyond that, and being aware of his presence, there's this consistency of being present and listening that does allow God yeah. to manifest his presence. And so some really specific ways that we've been doing that is, as I mentioned, we go to places, we go to these, you know, third spaces, gym, cafes, the store, playgrounds, parks, and we show up, and then we just keep showing up, and we keep showing up, but we don't just walk in and buy a coffee. It's like you walk in, you say good day, you ask how they're going. And so even this cafe that we've been out here in Haight-Ashbury now for a year plus, there's people in this cafe that have begun to share things with us just because we've simply showed up. And so it's a real thing here in San Francisco. There's this revolving door, but it's also something real everywhere. And so we show up to places consistently, ask questions, and then we just listen. And it's amazing when we do that over and over and over again, people start to ask questions around, why are you here? Why is like there's something different about you? Whether they can say these things or not, they begin to realize, hold on here, you know, Don and Hannah, Amy, Amanda, you know, other people are showing up every single week. They're asking me something about myself. You know, they're joy filled and they're actually caring about what I'm saying. And so we show up, we ask questions, we listen, and then we follow up on those things that we spoke to them about last time. And so if you think about that, in the nature of God, all throughout the Bible, he consistently showed up to his people and invited them to places of repentance and righteousness. Consistently showed up again and again and again. Prophetic word, prophetic word. And so I think it's one of the greatest ways we can actually be in step with the Holy Spirit by showing up to places and operating in a different spirit, but then listening as we're there. And then in that place of the city dynamic is, again, one thing that we believed in before we came, but has been another core conviction for Hannah and I, is that prayer walks are essential to gaining God's heart for a place. And we have a prayer space here. We believe in prayer rooms, you know, all that kind of stuff. We will continue to facilitate those. And we, you know, do outreach. But there's this dynamic where there's some things that you can only smell, see, hear, and discern when you walk. So if we are only in a prayer room, hear my heart in this, and I know I'm building off other things that other people have shared as well, but if we are only ever in a prayer room, we don't actually go out and prayer walk our neighborhood, our street, our city, submit before us, there's some things we will not hear or discern because there's only some things you can smell when you're face before a person, or you hear because you've just heard a voice. And so there are aspects of the city that God has highlighted to us that have been deeper or wider or greater off revelations that he showed us in prayer spaces or while we are in these environments of worship and adoration, but they became living and real by the people we met as we walked out in prayer. And so it's like this dynamic, and is from really Genesis to Revelation, what we see that walking is one of the most prevalent biblical pictures of a faithful life with God. And so Jesus didn't Uber from Capernaum to Judea.
Imagine that, if they had like Uber donkeys at the time, that would have been epic.
Right. So, but genuinely, like, there's this reality that I think God has revealed his heart in places and spaces Francisco simply because we've just been forced to walk. And then as we go and we walk, we're meeting people. And then we're meeting people, and then they're encountering God, and we're realizing, wow, God actually wants there to be healing over this neighborhood where there's a spirit of infirmity, or sonship and daughtership over a place where there's broken identity. And so there's certain things that we have only come into God's revelational insight because we've walked the streets and we've walked them consistently.
So good. I feel like I even got a bit of revelation. So during prayer and fasting, I often either bike ride or walk to and from work because it's not very far from our office space here in Richmond to where I live in Richmond. And I find, like, first of all, it slows me down so that I can actually, you know, spend some time with the Lord rather than driving quickly from one place to another in traffic, rushing. I just rode yesterday and walked today. But as I do that, I often ask the Lord, like, okay, what are you doing in this house? Like, talk to me about this family. Talk to me about this school. Like, oh, this is an Anglican school. Okay, what's happening in here? Like, talk to me about these things. So, yeah, without even realizing, I think even what you're saying about that, I naturally felt drawn to do, I've done that multiple times during prayer and fasting, of just either walked or bike rided around this area. For that, it's wild what the Lord will tell you when you also show up faithfully and consistently with him in that, in those spaces. I feel like it's a friend, you know, like when you catch up with a friend, you start talking, and then sometimes it's like 45 minutes into the conversation when, like, you're hitting the really deep heart to heart stuff. And I feel like it's a little bit like that with the Lord too.
Yeah.
It's like you walk with him and you're consistent with him, and then, and people as well, but with him too. And then, you know, he starts to show you something a little deeper, a little deeper, a little deeper. Some things that I saw and we did together,
sorry,
I guess,
real quickly, can I interrupt?
Yeah,
you?
Please.
So sorry. I just want to you're saying that, I just want to mention something real quick, two things real quick. One, I just want to mention that it didn't come easy to me. So when Melbourne and Australia and even here in San Francisco, you know, people go for prayer walks, they go for running. They're like, when I run, I'm so close to God. I'm like, when I run, I am too, because I'm about to pass out. And it's like, I naturally find it so hard to, like, walk, because I'm very visual. And so I'll see stuff and things like that. And it was through the consistency of, one, slowing down my weekly pattern, but then also in the consistency of beginning to do prayer walks, where I realized I can actually grow in my awareness as I walk in ways that I couldn't focus before on prayer walks or even going out. I'd be so distracted. And so it was through the consistency of just going out and actually doing it that I was able to push past these barriers. And then also the consistency of us doing that, like the prayer and office apartment that we've got came through a prayer walk. The building that we're meeting in on Sundays and doing Behold Them Nights came out of a prayer walk. The people that we've been able to see healed of their ankles and their hips came through a prayer walk. Some of the people of peace that we've encountered came through us walking on the streets. And so we know that prayer in rooms shifts and changes things, but some of the manifestation of that has only come as we've gone.
So good, Don. It's so good because when we enter into some of those practices, whatever that looks like, whether it's a prayer walk or whether it's, you know, I don't know, we're going to try like contemplative prayer for the first time or whatever. It often requires some effort and time and a process. So I think that's really great that you mentioned that, because we can often feel like we try something and then we're like, oh, that didn't feel good, or that was really hard, or maybe that's not for me, or whatever the case may be. And I think with a lot of things that we're cultivating in our life, including an awareness of the presence of God, it does take sometimes a little time to figure that out and to push past the busyness or the whatever our even personal like preferences are for things. Yeah, that's really good. Thank you. All right, so when we're talking, I guess, about, you know, you're talking about prayer walks and being in the city and, you know, listening, something else that I've seen you guys do and, yeah, had the joy of doing with you while I was there was do a lot of, like, worship just in parks and public places where you, I guess, usher in the presence of God in university grounds and parks in all sorts of spaces, which is so fun. So maybe you can share, I guess, like, because in some of those spaces, I know you guys have prayed generally, like pray, okay, God, where do you want us today? And you feel like there's even specific places where, again, the Lord has led you to be consistent, to show up consistently in different university spaces or in different public gardens or different parks. And then as you worship, you know, the group of believers that are there worship, the presence of God comes in incredible, incredible ways. So maybe you can just share even some testimonies about what it's looked like, I guess, to become aware of the presence of God, what's happened when the manifest presence of God has been ushered into public spaces like that.
Yeah. It's this has been something that's been so close to my wife Hannah's heart, because she just consistently gets this pulling of God to take worship to people. And it's not in a way just trying to be like seeker sensitive, but some of the ways that we go and do this is we actually just go and occupy space of, and then in that space we just bring adoration and beholding to the Lord. And so like you said, there's so much that we've seen at depths that we don't even yet fully recognize and know. But there are a couple of testimonies that I do want to share that are very recent for us. Obviously, again, consistently, there's a number of spaces across the city we show up. One of the main ones right now is Haight-Ashbury, and we have gone into Golden Gate Park and Panhandle a number of times and just worshiped. And we've just put, it's like might have been just a Spotify playlist on picnic rug style to people playing acoustic guitar and us singing, and then also this building that we're in for Sundays, especially like in the last 2 months, and I'm so pulled that we needed to actually just go do worship outside. So we did that on Easter Sunday. So in the parking lot, she had her piano and then this speaker set up, and it was just this projection of the glory of God on people that are walking by. And so what we saw on that day, Easter Sunday, is as she was doing that on that day, there's a number of us that were invited, hey, grab some hot cocoa or hot chocolate and some baked goods and stuff like that. And what we saw, because we're outside worshiping, one, it just began to feel different. Two, people like were like stopping and like watching and like looking to like, what is, oh, it's Easter. Oh, wow, what's that sound? And so you start to see people drawn and pulled to it, because everything was about lifting up the name of Jesus. And so we saw this this breaking of rhythm and this kind of like dynamic of one, that Christianity is dying. And so in the neighborhood of the park that we're at, it's like all of a sudden people are like, hold on here. There's something different, because what I know about Christianity was this or was that, but what's going on there, I'm like, here, those people look joyful. Like they look like they're having fun. Yeah. There's something different about even just the spirit that they're encountering.
Yep.
And so that was Easter Sunday. And then again, on the, 20th or 21st of April. So we have this once a month kind of like outreach weekend. Again, we had in the afternoon. And but this time, instead of us being out on the street, we just had this picture of inviting people. And so us and other ministries and churches, we just invited to come and worship. The whole thing was just around adoration. It was just, the whole thing was complete adoration. So we weren't actually focused personally on people walking by. We're all focused on lifting up the name of Jesus. And we ended up, I ended up meeting a guy that day that then came to our Behold Him night, and I met him. I ran into him on the street, literally just, you know, today on our, when we went for a prayer walk, I ran into him again. And so there's things that are beginning to shift as we're worshiping in these spaces. And a lot of it for people is recognizing that there's something different than the spirit that they are under or that they're encountering in the world. And so it's shifting things. And even recently on 420, there's this huge festival here in the city where people smoke marijuana and things like that. And normally there's like tens of thousands of people that actually come to Haight-Ashbury in San Francisco on that day.
Uh-huh.
On those days. Well, this year, so we've gone to, again, we've filled this neighborhood, we've filled the environment, and we believe that there's probably been people that have for sure been doing this before us as well. And so it's just the consistency of these prayers and this worship that's being lifted up, right? Well, this year, for the first time since like 2017 or 18, this festival was canceled and didn't happen. And a part of it was because the council like raised prices, all that kind of stuff. But literally what's happened in the spiritual atmosphere of this neighborhood is that the council, the governing authority themselves, are beginning to want to push this out of the neighborhood, even though it would have brought in a whole heap of money and stuff to the city. The governing authorities, and we're like, okay, you know, something's changing in an area when the governing authorities are beginning to push back and remove the things that are not righteous that they used to affirm and be receptive to. And so that was one thing. And then the panhandle was totally different than the year before. Last 420 in the panhandle was totally different. So on 420 and 421, we did this thing outside. And so we know there's things, there's people we're encountering that are encountering God because of it. But then there's also things that we are beginning to see God's manifest hand upon that we didn't see at the time that we're doing this, but we're beginning to see shifts and change happening because of it.
So good, Don. I think we have a similar testimony. Pastor Joel Krigsman from Tassie was sharing a similar testimony. There's a there's a festival in Tasmania that is Australia's biggest, I guess, like occult kind of gathering that happens annually. And we've been, you know, just praying that the love of God would fill Tasmania, and that, you know, righteousness and holiness would fill that state. And it was cancelled for the first time this year, I think, or maybe last year, this year, since a number of years. And just interesting reasons behind even why that had happened. And there's been a lot of prayer around that space in Tasmania and in Australia for Tasmania. So yeah, just beautiful to watch, as you said, just the hand of God moving as his presence is given permission to fill a place, because we have authority. We're the ones who have been given authority, right? So just releasing his presence in those spaces, that he may come and do whatever it is that his heart has to do. Oh, that's awesome and so encouraging, I think, as well, because sometimes we feel like, you know, we pray or we're there releasing the presence of God in a city or on a prayer walk or something like that. And when God, in his kindness and his goodness, I mean, he doesn't have to show us anything or tell us anything, but when he does choose to show us, you know, okay, this is how I'm working, or this is what I'm doing, it's such an encouragement to just keep pressing in those spaces.
Yes.
To really, as you said, I love that you were saying, it's just to adore him, to behold him, to lift the name of Jesus on high, not to, you know, I think sometimes we think of warfare in a different way, but just literally to adore Jesus, to lift his name up high and to see what the presence of God as it's ushered in can change and do in a city and in a space. So good. Well, I'm going to have you pray for us in a moment, but is there anything else that you want to encourage people with during these 12 days of prayer and fasting before we wrap up?
I would love to just encourage us in this time of consecration, of seeking God, to just have the awareness, as we're teaching team here, that this moment for us can go beyond this moment. And it's this reality that we are sacred spaces when we invite the Holy Spirit to come. And as we grow in awareness of His presence, that because we are now temples of the Holy Spirit, the places that we occupy can become sacred spaces when we grow more in the awareness of His presence. And so I'm just going to pray into that as well.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have invited us to know you. God, that you created us to know you and be in relationship with you. God, I thank you that during these 12 days of consecration, Lord God, where we are setting apart, God, not just time, but our very being, God, that we would be reminded and taken deeper upon the revelation that you are making us more and more to the image of Jesus Christ, as it says in Corinthians, from glory to glory, be made more into the image and likeness of Jesus. And so, Father, I pray for each and every one of us that we would grow in our awareness of your likeness, of your presence, God, and that your uniqueness is your holiness, and that you want us to be more and more holy. And so, God, I pray that we would be more aware of your holiness and what you are wanting to do in our minds and in our hearts.
Yeah.
God, I pray that even at the conclusion of these 12 days, this specific time of our global joining together in prayer and fasting, that we would be launched into a way of living that is where we have been set apart for you, and we're growing beyond these 12 days in our awareness of your presence. God, whether that is in the cities that we are in, the neighborhoods that we live, Lord God, wherever it is that you've got us. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask for myself and each one of us, that we'd be so humble to come before you and say, have your way today on this divine day. Lead us, guide us, manifest your presence through us as we seek you more than food and more than anything else. Holy Spirit, have your way. Amen.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Don. It's been a joy to chat with you. And we are praying for you and Hannah and the family and all of our Numa San Francisco fam that are there doing truly the work of God. We love you lots. And thank you to everybody who has joined us today for prayer and fasting. And if you're wondering, how do I actually start with becoming more aware of the presence of God in my city? Well, as part of our prayer and fasting toolkit, you will find a prayer practice that can help you do exactly that today. So you can grab the prayer and fasting toolkit in the show notes, on Instagram, via the Church Center app, or on our website, in all the places. And also, we want to hear your testimony. We are quite into prayer and fasting at the moment. We are almost towards the end. We want to hear how you've been experiencing the manifest presence of God in new ways in your home, in your family, with your children, in your workplace, in your city. So please DM us on Instagram or share with us via the website at numa.church/pray. All right, guys, may God's grace and peace be with you, fam. We will see you tomorrow.